I'll be sharing the message that I shared this week at the women's shelter. This is from a passage in Philippians 4, one of my favorite passages in Scripture. In today's culture, we love to complain about pretty much everything. I realize that some people are facing difficult and painful circumstances, and it seems like it's been so long since they've had a good day. But, you know, most people complain about things like the weather. They complain about their favorite sports team. They complain about the traffic or politicians or that their food wasn't cooked right. We think that we deserve a perfect life. Any inconvenience that we face seems unfair. And why is it that some of the wealthiest people in our world are also some of the most miserable individuals? Could it be more money, more problems? I don't know. But we also see others who have next to nothing, and yet they can still have a smile on their face. They can still have an encouraging word to share with us. But I suppose that that is the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is fleeting because it's based on our circumstances. But joy remains at all times. Some people just don't have joy. Like I said, there are many people in our world who face terrible problems. Maybe they're going through cancer or another illness, the loss of a loved one. Maybe they got laid off with having no job prospects, or they're facing prison time, whatever. Now, why do people face all these things? Well, sometimes it's due to bad choices. Other times, these things just happen. We live in a fallen world. But what's the point of our trials, and what can we do when trials come to us? There have been many accounts of persecution that came upon faithful Christians all throughout church history. These Christians suffered at the hands of God's enemies. Sometimes we hear stories about Christians who were persecuted and how they fearlessly faced their executioners or even prayed for their torturers. Or perhaps they seemed strangely comforted while undergoing intense suffering. Listen to this account shared by the organization Open Doors about a Christian who remained faithful under extreme conditions. The stifling heat, the biting lice, and fleas were sheer torture for the women who were packed in a shipping container that was their prison cell. The gospel singer Helen Burhane spent almost 3 years in this shipping container. In her own words, she tells of the moment in which she knew the true meaning of joy. She says, everyone was discouraged, and many of the women were angry. They asked me what we should do, and I knew they were expecting me to say that we should shout, we should bang on the container, let our captors know we were not going to tolerate this treatment. But then I remembered reading about how Christians, like nightingales, could not be prevented from singing, even in captivity, and I suggested that we sing. We should praise God, I said, in spite of the fleas, in spite of the lice, in spite of the heat. We should thank God despite our circumstances. So I began to sing with them and pray and share the word of God from memory. Helen's joy in her love for the Savior in the midst of terrible suffering inspired the other prisoners, several of whom put their faith in Christ. Now, perhaps you've wondered why God would allow us to face painful trials. I've wondered this myself as well. And yet it seems that after some time had passed, I realized that God was at work all along. I saw how someone or something came along to help me in my time of suffering. I later found comfort in being brought to a place of joy, seeing God's love and His care for me. and how all things worked for good according to his perfect will. Today's passage was written by Paul, a man who had been opposed by the authorities. He had been chased out of cities, beaten, betrayed, even stoned. Here, he writes to the Philippian church while sitting in a Roman prison cell. Paul knew intense suffering, and yet he had a reason to rejoice. I'll be reading today from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 and 10 through 13. Paul writes to the Philippians saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Verse 10. "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." This is God's Word. Now we can see from Scripture that Paul had faced some very serious and painful trials. But he also makes it clear that he knew his suffering wouldn't last. He told the Corinthians his trials were light, momentary afflictions. He also said they were not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us in Romans 8:18. Paul had an eternal perspective. He knew he had an inheritance waiting for him in heaven. And that's why he could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Earlier in his letter, he told the Philippians that he didn't remain stuck in his past. He wasn't holding on to regrets when he looked back on his life. He was looking forward. He was straining to reach that heavenly reward. In chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." His reward was Jesus Christ. And so Paul would use all of his efforts to reach that goal of coming into the glories of heaven, to be with Jesus always. Paul could also rejoice knowing that the gospel was being preached around the world. Many of the people believed in this message and they were saved. Paul was thankful for this church in Philippi that was taking the message as well. He told them that he remembered them in his prayers. He was filled with joy knowing that they continued to take out that message that he had preached to them. In chapter 1, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." Even though Paul was limited in reaching others while he sat there in prison, he knew that these other men and women, these faithful believers, were sharing their faith, and the church was expanding. People were being saved. Now, friends, do you have a reason to complain this morning? Are you anxious about the troubles that you're facing, or what might happen to you in the future? Whenever we find ourselves worrying about our struggles and all the what-ifs that we may imagine, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. God gives us what we need. Maybe not necessarily what we want, but if we are trusting in Jesus, if we are Christians, if we are God's people, then He will provide for our needs, and He will work all things for good, Paul says, for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. When Paul says they're all things, he means everything in life. You know, even the things that cause us pain. Perhaps at those times, God is trying to draw you closer to him, bringing you through that painful trial so that you will lean on him. That we would look to his word for truth. That we would go to him in prayer. Jesus gave his disciples the Lord's Prayer as a guide for how we should pray. We are to praise God for who he is and all his attributes. We are to seek after his will, not our own selfish desires. We are to ask him to give us what we need this day. We must come before him and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness for these things. Also that we seek his help as we forgive others. We ask him that he would guide us away from our temptations and toward ways of living for him and holiness. So when we trust God completely, he gives us peace. Like Jesus, Paul tells us that we need to cast our cares on the Lord. We need to go to him in prayer. And as we continue to do this, we begin to be filled with God's peace. This peace, Paul says, which surpasses all understanding. Now, does this mean that God's going to take away all of our problems? Not necessarily. Probably not. But when we treat God and not the things of this world as our treasure, then we will find that we have what we need. Even when our lives are hard, we know that God is here with us. He is here for us. Some people will experience peace when it seems humanly impossible. Just like this woman at the beginning who was sitting in that shipping container for almost 3 years. She had that peace of God. We can have that too, knowing that he is here, that we are loving him more than anything else. If something else gets damaged, we still have our Lord. So we need to find our rest in him, not in money, not in perfect health, not in a good job, not in a perfect spouse, or whatever it is you tend to want the most. But Christ needs to be our main focus in life. Paul continues on here saying that he has learned the secret of contentment. Again, Paul was in prison. He had previously been beaten. He had been betrayed by his former friends. He was chased out of cities. He faced many other imprisonments, traveled oftentimes with little food and little rest. He came across all these dangers, enemies. He received death threats. He was even stoned once. And they left him for dead. And yet Paul could say that he was content in whatever situation he found himself in. He didn't need money. He didn't need fame. He didn't need a comfortable place to sleep. He didn't need perfect meals prepared for him every day. Or even guaranteed safety. He didn't need all those things that the rest of the world chases after. He wrote he wrote another letter to his friend Timothy, saying that there is great gain in godliness with contentment. He was saying that we should do what we can to live for God. That we would be obedient to him and trust that if we have food, if we have clothing, if we have the absolute necessities of life, we should be content with that. He said, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. There are those who do whatever they can to gain wealth, but they end up falling into temptations to sin. And he said that by this desire to become rich, some have wandered away from the faith. They were chasing after the wrong thing. Okay, so if money, possessions, fame, all these worldly treasures cannot bring us true contentment, then how can we find it? Why was Paul so content in the midst of great suffering? Again, Paul was grateful that these faithful believers there in Philippi were acting in obedience to the Lord. Not only were they being faithful by preaching the gospel, but they were also showing genuine love to one another. And they were showing love to him. He writes that he has reason to rejoice since you have revived your concern for me. They had shown him love and generosity. They sent him a gift while he was there in prison. Now, Paul didn't expect this kind of favor from them. In fact, he wasn't going to make them feel guilty if they didn't send him any relief. But he was glad that this church saw an opportunity to express generosity, and they acted upon it. They were seeking God's will. And this revealed the love and faithfulness in their hearts. This gave Paul a reason to rejoice. But primarily, Paul was content because he found satisfaction in simply knowing, trusting, and serving Christ. His contentment was not due to his circumstances. You know, he was sitting there in prison. That wouldn't make him very happy. But he was content because he had this inner peace from knowing Christ. He loved God more than anything else, and he knew that the Lord was always with him. No matter what situation he found himself in, Paul found his strength in Jesus Christ. When he says here in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, he wasn't saying this popular opinion that God was going to grant him superhuman abilities or that he would have instant success in whatever he endeavors. People who focus on themselves and their circumstances believe that God's going to move their problems. He's going to move their mountains simply if they have enough faith. Well, God may not take away our problems. He may leave us in our problems. Paul prayed 3 times for this thorn to be removed, but God left it there, saying his grace was sufficient for him. So like Paul, when we focus on Christ, we know that he is with us in our battles. When we go through trials, we lean on him. He is here to give us peace. He is here to help us endure whenever we face painful situations. Paul's hope was in Christ alone. Even when he faced dangers and recognized that he was not physically safe, Paul remained in a state of spiritual peace. It was Christ who strengthened him. Again, Paul had an eternal perspective. He was laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth. He gave up much of his treasures that he formerly had. And he found true contentment in Jesus. Now, friends, what is your main goal in life? Do you want to make sure that you're always happy? Or that you're always finding pleasure by any means possible? Do you want to accumulate more wealth, more stuff? Kind of like the bumper sticker that says, he who dies with the most toys wins. Now, if that's your main goal, you know, obtaining physical pleasures, making sure that you avoid all bad circumstances, then you are never going to be content. You will not have a reason to rejoice when your physical treasure is damaged or taken away. That thing you've been clinging so tightly to. But nothing in this world lasts forever. Anything can be taken from us at any moment. Friends and family may turn on us. But God is eternal. God never changes, and we can always trust him. Our main purpose in life should be to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. God remains when everything else is lost. We are to pursue Him above everything. We are not to idolize the pursuit of happiness. Again, happiness is fleeting. But instead, let's pursue the joy of the Lord. Humble ourselves before God, that we would be grateful for who He is and what He has done for us. The Father sent His Son. He sent Jesus to die for us, Paul says, while we were still sinners. In Romans 8:32, Paul asks, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? He will give us what we need, and even more. He will bless us because we are His. I mean, what greater gift could God give than the gift of salvation, which comes through Christ? So let us this morning give God the glory. Let us find our satisfaction in Him. He will give us what we need. And if we are seeking after His will, after His desires, then He will fulfill our desires, as we will find our contentment in Christ, as our desires begin to match what He desires for us. We find ourselves, again, content in knowing Christ as our Savior, loving Him and being loved by Him. Let's pray. Father, we praise You once again that You have given us the assurance that we have a Savior. Even though we have turned our backs on You many times, that we have offended You, we have sinned against You, God, You are still the one and only Savior who died for sinners such as me, such as all of us. So no matter what happens to us in our lives, if we're facing health problems, if we're facing money problems, if we're facing friends and family who turn against us, God, help us have confidence that You are here, that You remain, that we would be content knowing that we have a perfect, loving Savior. So let us turn to You when we feel down, asking You to help us in our times of need, and to find true joy and peace, a peace that surpasses understanding when times are tough. God, I pray for this church here, this body of believers. I pray that You would encourage us this day and every day. As we seek You, look to Your word, and learn to love the way You love us. Amen.